Welcome to Mafia, a new podcast telling stories of America's criminal underworld.
Gotti assumed the position of head of the Gambino family.
And using the name Donnie Brasco, I was able to infiltrate the Bonanno crime family in New York City.
Bugsy Siegel is an American mob legend.
One man changed the whole texture and landscape of crime in America.
Listen to Mafia every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your favorite shows.
New York culture with real New Yorkers. Joan Hamburg, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Welcome to the Joan Hamburg Show. Now, who doesn't love real estate? I grew up with a grandfather. Two things. Every dinner we would hear how he could have bought everything under the Third Avenue L. And of course, that was when New York had a Third Avenue L, and he didn't. And those who did became super rich. And of course, the other thing is we couldn't eat until the closing of the stock market. Those were his two passions. So I grew up being interested in the stock market and in real estate. Always loved it. And when siblings, Joanne R. Douglas and Alfred Renner, brother and sister, there are other sisters involved in this clan, sort of made their names in real estate and then came out with a book called Negotiating New York, Life, Love, and the Pursuit of Real Estate. When I first got the book, paper, and I thought, what's going to be in this book? You know, who would want to read it unless you're in the business? The book is charming. It's not only about family and the importance of family, it's about the adventures of this family in the crazy world of New York, Long Island, and even Italy of real estate. You're going to meet great people. So, Joanne, Alfred, I'm so happy you're both here today. Congratulations on the book. It starts with a family, their parents, buying property before it was the hottest of the Hamptons in Sag Harbor. Mm-hmm. Hard to believe, right? It was a wonderful little community. Now it's sort of being destroyed, but it's okay. But we like it.
Well, Joanne actually didn't want our parents to buy a lot and build the house. She wanted them to buy the entire block.
But she was just a kid.
Yes, I was 12, I think.
Yes.
But she knew, right?
We all knew. We wanted property on the water, and we had chosen a spot. The next day, my mother woke up. Oh, no, one of the kids will drown. We can't do it.
Well, that's a mother thing.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, no waterfront property for us, unfortunately.
We were up on a hill, though. It was quite nice. We could see the ocean in the distance.
That's still the hilly part of Sag Harbor.
Yes, it was beautiful.
Well, Sag Harbor is a real community, and you kids, when you were kids, had a real, that was a family life, a summer life, paradise for kids.
Oh, it was. We loved it. We spent most of our time underwater, diving for
We won't jump on those waves today.
Oh, we were fearless.
Because we know
back
too
then.
Much. But
right.
When we were kids, you couldn't get us out of the waves. The bigger, the better.
Yeah. We were fearless in those waves.
And that's how it really started. And you said you were the only kids in the neighborhood that had a place to go for the summer. And that was a deal.
I wanted to go to camp.
Of course.
I couldn't understand why we couldn't
go to camp.
You
weren't Jewish.
It was the mother camp. All the mothers stayed during the week, and the fathers came out on Friday night. And we had a blast until they got there.
And in those days, a beach car was a rotted out old Chevy wagon,
right.
Not a Range Rover.
No, the world has changed, not only in New York City, not only in all the boroughs. You know, I still remember when we used to go to Astoria and eat in these places for $8, $9, $10. Who knew million-dollar lofts were going to appear,
right.
You know, and
that's
restaurants were so chic. The city has changed dramatically, as has the beach area.
Yes.
But real estate, basically, is good and still a good investment. Right, Joanne and Alfred?
We're real estate addicts. We can't help ourselves. We love to What happened to
like, how'd you become a real estate addict?
I think it was from the time our parents bought the first lot and built a house. And We spent an entire weekend marking all the trees that we wanted not to be taken right. down by the builder.
And they were.
They cleared the lot in the area of the house. And so it was the first sense of I wanted to be able to control the real estate that we owned. And it started with them building the house and the things they did to the house.
And we were the first house in that particular neighborhood of Sag Harbor. So one of the things that we would do to entertain ourselves is look for pieces of scrap wood in the following houses that came up, and then we would build tree forts. Mm. So we were builders.
We were builders from the beginning.
But unusual that a family of four, not only that they get along because you're all in business together, but you share almost everything. You share holidays and occasions. Mm-hmm. And there's one kid in the family. One sister gave birth to a little boy. And you said this is a child also obsessed, even as a kid, with real estate.
He was, and is fascinated with real estate. He's not in the real estate business, but he would like to be. He's asked me on a number of occasions if he can join my team. We're waiting until he matures a little. Right now, he's a wine rep, which he also loves.
That's good.
Yeah, very
well,
good.
Well, he combines the family interests.
Absolutely, he does.
Eat and have a good place to stay.
Absolutely. But he would, you know, he looks at our success today and he wants that success.
With the whole family, but right. all of yeah. you are a little different, right? Alfred is the manager of one of the most successful real estate companies in the world, really.
Douglas Elliman, uh-huh. yes. I'm executive sales manager. And in our office, we have about 600 agents.
So which is huge.
600 agents who individually run and operate their own business, and then we as sales managers oversee the running of their business.
That's interesting. So basically, real estate agents are independent contractors, right?
Independent contractors, yeah. and they are only paid when a property closes and the check is received.
Right, so they don't get like a weekly salary. You have to really be an entrepreneur and work it.
Yes,
I mean that. Right, so Alfred is the manager, mm-hmm. and you have had a big adventure along the way. You started out as a kid at Halstead, mm-hmm. then went on to the Corcoran Group, which we know Barbara Corcoran yes. quite well.
Yeah. yeah.
And then you went over to join the brother.
I did.
And the others followed too, right?
Well, Donna is on my team, and then
your sister.
Yes, and then my assistant Lenny, and then we had another broker who works with us, Barbara Levy, uh-huh. and so we all went at the same time. It was difficult.
But the first time I was a sales manager at Corcoran, and Joanne was working at Halstead, and then she came over to Corcoran, and then we worked together for about 5 years.
Right.
I managed Joanne and Joanne's team. And then I left Corcoran and came to Douglas Elliman about 9-10 years ago.
Right. right. So, and the rest is history. But Barbara Corcoran had encouraged you to go to school, even though you had gone to school, but to really become the best tech guy available.
She wanted me to divert from being a sales manager and bring Corcoran into the 21st
right,
century.
Which is essential.
And this is back in the 90s. And
she
I said,
smart.
What do you mean by that? And she said, there's a thing called the internet. We should be on it. And we need computers. So they sent me to Columbia University.
It's amazing that she knew, right?
Yeah, she knew. And I worked diligently to get her what she wanted.
And you did it. But what, you know, people...
I also gave her a great set of legs.
Which we saw yeah. last week. No,
she's,
with the stars.
She's good. I'm talking to Joanne R. Douglas and Alfred Renna, who collaborated on their new book, Negotiating New York, Life, Love, and Pursuit of Real Estate. So most people think you want to buy something, sell something, you call an agent. You know, if they're not really into it, they don't know. But agents are specialized. They're different. What makes a good agent? And how do you do this? Get an agent that will suit you and your needs.
Well, a successful agent knows that 1 + 1 = 3, not 2. So a great agent just doesn't hear the word no, is completely driven, must succeed, very competitive, and they have an endless drive that's fueled by something that perhaps even happened in their past that they need to overcome.
Well, but that's really interesting. And agents, even though we pointed out they're independent contractors, they can make a lot of money, right?
We have agents making millions and millions of dollars every year.
Wow. It's a lot. But you just don't sit there and wait for the business to come in. You got to hustle all the time.
You have to go after the business.
And what does that mean, you go after the business?
I think every one of us has a different way of doing it. Some agents are very social. They'll sit on boards. They'll
So they know where the money is.
Exactly. Exactly right. You know, the greatest thing about real estate and being an agent is you can reinvent yourself. You can come to New York from the South, from Germany, from anywhere.
Israel.
Japan. We have so brokers from every part of the world and every background, and you can become whomever you want to be. So it's a fascinating thing to see how each person manages their company within the company, and you can become a star. You're a star of your own website and podcasts and reality shows, as we well know.
And so there are all types of agents. Not everyone is good at it, right?
No, not everyone
We
is
have
good.
Some failures.
No, but why do they fail? Is it that they don't like it enough? They don't know how to go after and get people or close the deal?
I think closing the deal is one of them.
What works on paper does not work in real life. And they want to replicate what works on paper. And that's just not how it works, because people are buying and selling homes, so it becomes a very emotional transaction, and you have to get into the psyche of that individual. You have to have the buyer and the seller believe in you, trust in you, and have confidence in you. You have to get them to turn it over to you, and people don't give that up too easily.
And you have to have a good eye. I was telling both Joanne and Alfred, I love the story of a penthouse, which was supposedly fabulous, but it wasn't selling. So the team goes over to take a look, and there was a problem. That was from the minute you walked in.
Oh, my goodness. You smelled the problem before the door opened. Mm. The woman who lived in this apartment for many years had, as far as we counted, 44 cats. That's not counting her dogs.
How did the building allow that?
They didn't. And the building was not very happy about it. And they took steps to actually get a court order to have the apartment sold. And so we went in.
How did you even know that, though?
About the court order?
That there was a court order.
The broker. The broker at the time, who worked until the day he died of 94 years old, by the way.
God. I know. Well, that's the good thing about real estate, right?
There's no age limit or ceiling.
And no one gives up their license because there might be one more deal.
Right. One more. I get it. I get it. You have to have that feeling.
And we love that.
We do. It's amazing.
I know. I love it. So you go to a cat world.
Yes. And our buyers were living in California. They were in the business out there. And so they asked us to go take a look at it for them. And they sent their accountant with a video camera. And mind you, he has asthma, so it was...
Oh, he was the worst, right?
And cats. So we videotaped the apartment. He had to go run out on the terrace to get air. And one of my partners at the time was Nanda Root, and she was with me in the apartment. She's walking around with a handkerchief
over
her face. And, you know, we finished the filming. We send it out to our buyers, and they loved it. And they made an offer without even seeing it. And it's gorgeous now.
Well, they didn't smell it on video.
They couldn't smell it, but we warned them. But we did warn them.
It's frightening. When I bought my house on the east end of Long Island, it hadn't sold. And the broker, I wasn't looking for a house. I was looking to buy a dining room table. And I borrowed the car of a woman who turned out to be a broker, a station wagon. Uh-huh. It was a place called, I forget, William something. It was on the highway. And we come to this house to meet her to buy the car. She was looking at it. And I said, let me look at the house. I had just sold my farm in Vermont. She said, no, horrible. I'm not selling it. I don't want to sell it. You don't want it. I go in and I got that feeling. The property was so beautiful. The house was falling down, but there were cats everywhere. And everyone in my family is alerted. They were coming out of the woodwork. I never saw so many cats. And the broker who had said to me, no, you can never get rid of cat stuff, ever. I bought it like a crazy person. And I had to pull up every floor. Those the only thing really good in the floors were wonderful. Every floor had to come up. That was what they had said. If we didn't pull them up, you wouldn't ever get rid of it.
That's the same thing with the couple who bought the house.
Air it out forever. Worked. No more cat smell. I mean, not from the beginning. So that's why I loved your penthouse story. But you have to be like you guys and see the potential. A lot of people walk in, and if it doesn't look like someone has staged it, they're not interested. Right?
Well, you know, the buyers have gotten used to seeing staged properties or very beautifully decorated homes, especially in new construction. Of course, the showrooms are made to be absolutely beautiful.
Right.
So it's harder now to sell an empty apartment.
There is an expectation with buyers today to walk into beautiful properties.
Right, and feel.
Because they're just used to it from looking at it in magazines. So if the property is not properly staged, we virtually stage a property.
I get it. So it's online and they can...
So you can look at a photograph and it looks beautifully renovated and redone. Yet when you step into the property, that's not the way it is. But that's what the potential is.
Right. And there seems to still be a lot of potential in our area. A lot of potential on the East End and everywhere else. And if you read Negotiating New York, you'll even find out how to deal with your dog so the dog passes the co-op interview. Very important. You'll learn how to negotiate, and you'll get a really good idea of the kind of broker that you need and how important that broker is to your getting the perfect match. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank
Negotiating New York, Life, Love, and the Pursuit of Real Estate. I'm Joan Hamburg.
What do you get when you twist together the rush of a wood coaster with the gravity-defying aerial thrills of a steel coaster? You get Twisted Timbers, King's Dominion's all-new hybrid coaster. You get speeding barrel rolls, rumbling G-forces, and white-knuckle inversions. In other words, it's a ride like nothing you've experienced before. So prepare yourself for the unexpected thrills of Twisted Timbers, the area's first hybrid roller coaster. And for a limited time, everyone pays kids' price at kingsdominion.com.